So before we start with our panel number two, with four panelists, let me talk a little bit about a new initiative that we are launching today. Let me give you a little bit of background about it. While creating a Muslim registry is distinctly un-American and maybe unconstitutional, but it also divides our beloved country between Muslims and non-Muslims. This is exactly what Islamic State or other terrorist organizations want. Do we want that? The answer is simply no. We want to keep America safe by all of us working together. We all are proud Americans, and we strongly believe, everybody knows me, I think I've introduced myself. My name is Masood, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm also advisor to the Madrasa Muslim community, and most of the time people engage me into these activities, I think that's pretty good. Sorry about that. So, we are all proud Americans. And the reason is that we strongly believe that America is very unique in terms of what it offers compared to any other country on the face of this earth. Freedom of expression, freedom of religion, and the opportunities to succeed in your dreams, whatever your dreams are. United States of America unite people. It does not divide people. When America speaks, the entire world listens. So let's make a promise today that we want to keep America that way, and we will fight until our last breath that we have. White House is simply not white. It's white because it was painted white. It was burned down. Those who are from history know that Britishers, what they did, turned everything into black. It does not reflect. It means that it's a majority reflection. If that were the case, then let me tell you today, we have to paint it again, because by 2050, there are projections that the minority will become a majority. We obviously don't want to do that. We want to keep it white. White means peace, therefore we want to keep it white. During this rocky adventure to the White House during this presidential campaign, you might have seen that the environment of fear transformed into an environment of hate. Therefore, I proposed that the idea of creating a different type of registry, not what you were hearing by Donald Trump, which will unite the country and not divide the country. And we will have even a better name for it than the registry. Our movement is called United Against Hate, Building an Exclusive Community. I'm sorry, Inclusive Community. We might even have a better name moving forward, because we are in an early stage of starting this. And today, we are very proud to launch this initiative. Through this initiative, we intend to provide education on topics of importance to all of our citizens and the communities who are going to be affected by this. And we'll convey a very strong message of unity to every single person in Wisconsin, whether they live in a rural community or an urban community. We also plan to create an anti-hate caucus in Wisconsin first, followed by a similar caucus in Washington, D.C. And this caucus will provide an opportunity for those who are going to be affected by the policy that are going to come is come together and have a direct conversation with our elected officials of both parties. We want to show that we, the people, will no longer be on the table. We are going to be at the table with those people. And we no longer be working in our silos as we used to. To govern this new initiative, we have now created an advisory board of about 20 well-respected people from our community and also volunteers. We have already started a website. There is information out there that lists all of those. There was a paper display outside. You can grab a copy of that. And look at that advisory board. Don't you see a diversity here? That's the kind of America we talk about. This movement is not against us versus them. This movement is to send a very powerful message to Mr. Donald Trump or any other future president or elected officials that we believe in our U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights, and we will continue fighting for it. Our Constitution is our hope. Let's not wait until the next Thanksgiving to be thankful for this Constitution to our founding members who brought all of us together. Let's make a resolution right now that we will all stand up for the freedom of others while we are enjoying ours. So today, I'm asking each of you who is going to be subject to hate, or those who are not going to be subject to hate, but they are willing to work, please join this new initiative. Let's replace the act of hatred with act of kindness. And make America great again by simply bringing it back to the era of this presidential election. That's all we need. Our country is already great to start with. God bless America, and thank you all for listening. Okay, so I have been asked to moderate this next panel, which is focused on resources. And we have four distinguished panelists, and we have about 45 minutes total time. And we want to make sure we save some time after the panel is over for Q&A. So each panelist has 8 minutes.
Seven minutes.
So we give you guys a little bit more time. And then, although I'm the moderator, but the real moderator is Gloria.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting next there, she's going to tell you in terms of your timing, when your time is up or you're close to it, right? And we will start out with these four panelists that are listed here. Representative Chris Taylor, State Representative, District 76. Elder Shiva, she's also on our committee, Madison Council, District Number 5. Our good friend David Mahoney, our Dave County Sheriff. We are all safe here. Last but not the least, our friend John Bordray, U.S. Attorney for Western District, Wisconsin. To save time, I would suggest that you can use this microphone and go this way all the way to the end, and then we'll save some question at the end. Write down your question. I will take a few at the end. All right?
Okay. Sure, sure. Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm State Representative Chris Taylor, and welcome to the 76th Assembly District. You're sitting in it. That's the district I represent, the heart of Madison. So the last time I was here with this many people, I think Barack Obama was in the house. So kudos to you all. I'm so excited to see you all. I'm grateful you're all here. It shows how much we care about these rights, and it shows our collective power, because we got a lot of power in this room. Let's not forget that, and let's make a commitment to keep utilizing that and to join with our brothers and sisters to utilize our collective power to really defend, but also to enhance basic human rights. And that's really what we're talking about today, in my opinion. I'm also very, very grateful that we have a constitution and we have First Amendment rights to speak out, to organize, to march, to protest. I was with 500,000 people last weekend marching for basic human rights, for women, for people of color. And it's amazing, and we have to continue to do that, to speak out, to be willing to come together, to march, but also to act. We must act. And I'm grateful to the ACLU. I'll tell you. And all of the immigration attorneys who went to airports last night, and they were there to make sure that we were using our legal system to protect these basic rights. And a round of applause for the independent judiciary, because I'll tell you all, we're going to need these courts to step in, because this president is stepping out in ways that are a total violation of everything that we hold dear and the fundamental tenets of our country. So we need to, at every turn, hold this president accountable and come together in doing that. But you all, one thing I am not worried about, but I want to put it back in your brains to be watching as well, is we've got people about a block from this building who have also made it their task to take away people's rights. And that is the Republican-controlled state legislature here in Wisconsin and our governor. So I'm here to talk to you today about what's happening at the state level. I've been in the state legislature for about 6 years. Scott Walker inspired me to run for elected office because I was so dismayed with the attack that I saw on workers, on women, on our children, on our public education system. And I want to tell you, it's going to be very important for us not just to be vigilant in watching what the Trump administration does, but we have to keep watching and keep protesting and keep speaking out against what Governor Walker has done and is going to do. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. I'm going to try to be fast about what's happening in our state. And I have to say, you know, I go to, some of you might have heard of the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, where a lot of bad model policies come from, where corporations come with state legislatures, with big funders like the Koch brothers, to try to come up with model policies that really stink for most people, but that are really great for corporations and maximizing corporate profits. So I was just there out at ALEC in November. Newt Gingrich came to speak. And he said, boy, what we need to do is make sure Trump does what Scott Walker did in Wisconsin. And I'll tell you, some of these tactics that I see right now from Trump are exactly what Scott Walker has done and will do, and that's flooding the zone, doing so many bad things at once. Just look at the last 10 days. Look at the last 10 days. Attack on healthcare, attack on women, attack on our environment, attack on immigrants. So this is a tactic that has been used. We know about this tactic here in Wisconsin. But it's flooding the zone, so there's so many bad things happening, you can't even pay attention. So we're going to have to be more vigilant than ever, more awake than ever, both at the state level and at the federal level. So we've seen threats to immigrants at the state level during the Walker administration. Scott Walker had previously called for a ban on Syrian refugees. That was last year. And he said Wisconsin would not cooperate with the federal government in accepting them. Just this last December, Walker sent a letter to Trump saying he wants more authority to say what refugees come in and from where. Okay, so that is what Scott Walker has said already. The things that have passed here in the state legislature that you all should be aware of is preventing local entities from issuing ID cards to immigrants and others. And that was really important. A lot of communities were doing this. They were using city resources, and they were attempting to use to make it easier to use local services. And so they issued ID cards that were being used at homeless shelters and healthcare facilities, and this also fostered cooperation with law enforcement that the Republicans have now banned the use of these ID cards here. There is a bill that we're going to see again prohibiting sanctuary cities and communities. It did pass the assembly. It did not pass the Senate, so we will have to fight this bill again and again, and we're going to need your help to do that. We just saw President Trump say he would deny certain federal funds to sanctuary cities. So we have to make sure that we're defeating this ban at the state level as well. There is a bill to punish sanctuary cities, and Dane County was specifically mentioned and targeted by this bill. And it basically said if a city, village, town, or county was found not to comply with federal laws or not to enforce federal immigration laws, that they would lose their state aid, which is extremely important to local communities. So I suspect we're going to see that again. By the way, sanctuary cities, this is interesting. I found these statistics from the Center for American Progress. On average, there are 35.5 fewer crimes committed per 10,000 people in sanctuary cities. Just so you know, the poverty rate is 2.3% lower on average in sanctuary counties compared to non-sanctuary counties, and unemployment is on average 1.1% lower in sanctuary counties. So that's some good food for thought when you're speaking about this. The Democrats did attempt to do some proactive, supportive immigration legislation. We did attempt to do a bill requiring tuition equity for students, for undocumented students. They now have to pay out-of-state tuition. So we are trying to address that proactively. We also did another bill. Governor Walker did cut bilingual education in his first budget by 10%. We did a bill to try to restore that funding and enhance that funding. And then also we tried to get a driver's license bill for undocumented individuals passed. We're going to be trying that again, and we're going to need your help. But that unfortunately did not move. But, you know, it's very important to be proactive in these times, not just to be reactive. I have a bill called the Wisconsin Bill of Rights. We need a stronger state constitution. We can protect a lot of these rights through our state constitution. We have to amend our state constitution. But we also should be thinking about that. The right to vote actually is not enshrined in our state constitution. It should be, and so many of these other rights. So we'll keep working on that going forward. In conclusion, though, you know, we need continued activism. We need to get up, we need to stand up, and we need to continue to fight these very divisive, hateful policies. We need to encourage bipartisan opposition when we can. We need to link arms with groups that may not have been engaged on some of these issues we're working on. And we certainly need to support the groups that are going to need to go to our courts to stop some of these hateful policies that we see. So those are some things we can do immediately. But we're going to have to be more vigilant, more courageous, and bolder than we ever have been. Are you ready to be that here? Wonderful. I'm going to leave you with this because my time is up. I know, Gloria, my time is up. Okay, so my cousin sent this to me yesterday. It was from her rabbi. Her rabbi read this, and this was in response to a very famous piece by Martin Niemöller. And this is what her rabbi had to say. First they came from the African Americans, and I spoke up, because I am my sister's and my brother's keeper. And then they came for the women, and I spoke up, because women hold up half the sky. And then they came for the immigrants, and I spoke up, because I remember the ideals of our democracy. And then they came for the Muslims, and I spoke up because they are my cousins, and we are one human family. And then they came for the Native Americans and Mother Earth, and I spoke up because the blood-soaked land cries and the mountains weep. They keep coming, we keep rising, because we Jews know the cost of silence. We remember where we came from, and we will link arms, because when you come for our neighbors, you come for us, and that won't stand. Thank you very much.
Bienvenidos, bienvenue, خوش آمدین, اهلاً و سهلاً, welcome. I first want to actually thank our interpreters, the forgotten profession that make language happen. They were there in the airports yesterday too, helping people with the lawyers. So thank you for the interpreters that are in the back of the room that are helping many in our community understand what's going on and what their rights are. So I'm Shiva Bidar. I'm a proud member of the Madison City Council, here representing really my other 19 City Council members, because we are a great bunch. Actually, when I heard about the exclusive community, I thought that could be the Republic of Madison, and I would be proud to live in it. because we have a long history of having taken action, specific action, to protect the rights of our immigrant community. And I'm going to specifically talk about our undocumented immigrant community, because I know that we are all feeling under attack right now. I can tell you, you can hear my accent, I'm a proud immigrant too. But I have the privilege of having an American passport. And although I see, and I was distressed to no limit, to see that my friends and family may not be able to come and visit me, I still knew somewhere in my heart that I did have that American passport, and that somewhere the law was going to come through and protect me. Our undocumented citizens in our communities today are the ones that have the least privilege. They are the ones that have been under attack for a very, very long time. And I am actually really, really glad to see that we're all now coming together and really understanding issues that some of us have been working on for over 20 years, of trying to make sure that we continue pushing for a just and comprehensive immigration reform in this country that has not happened, by the way, under any presidency, whether Republican or Democrat, during my time as a U.S. citizen. So again, I think it's important to make sure that we are focusing, because they are also going to be the ones that are going to be at greater risk than anybody. So I want to talk very specifically, because those of people that know me know that I'm kind of an action type of gal. And I've decided now I'm going to be even more action-oriented and fiercer than ever. And that's pretty scary. So we have a history on the City Council to have passed resolutions to really protect the rights of our immigrant community, and specifically our undocumented immigrant community. So back in 2010, and I know many of you probably didn't even realize that we did that, but back in 2010, I brought forward a resolution that got overwhelming support by the City Council. to say that we were not going to participate in 287G, which is what you heard earlier from my friend Mario, is the program that says that local law enforcement can sign a memorandum of understanding and be deputized to be immigration enforcers. So we already did that back in 2010, which I'm really glad because the new executive action pushes that program forward again and says that they really kind of want to incentivize local law enforcement to sign that MOU. The other thing that we did is the week after the election in November, we did pass a resolution that reaffirmed our values as the city of Madison, but also said that we are going to be enforcing our equal opportunity ordinance with all our protected classes as strongly as we can do it, and that we are standing by those protected classes. I won't enumerate them all because there are many, and probably all of you in this room in some way or other belong to one of the protected classes that we have, but certainly immigrants and citizenship status is one of those protected classes. So we did that. So again, long history of having really worked very effectively as a council with the mayor to really try to make sure that we provide as many protection as possible to our immigrant community. There was a specific question that was asked about sanctuary cities, so I want to just take a moment to answer that question. So sanctuary cities is a term, is a label. And actually, there is not really a clear definition for what sanctuary cities are. So I'm not a person that's into labels. So I don't care whether we call it a sanctuary city or we use another label. What's important is what are the policies behind the work that's being done. And indeed, our police chief, Chief Koval, is here. We have, again, been very strong in our Madison Police Department policy to say that our local law enforcement will not be asking people for their immigration status, nor is it kind of their business to know what the immigration status of an individual is that they come in contact with. We are working. We're working with Chief Koval to make that language really even more clear and transparent. So stay tuned for that information so that, again, we make sure that within the context of the executive order that just came out, that we're very clear on our law enforcement's stand in non-cooperation with immigration enforcement. And the second piece is that we want to make sure that all our programs that we fund as the City of Madison are programs that are open to anybody regardless of immigration status. We've been doing that for a long time. We want to also make sure that we are protecting any information that we may have in the city for about somebody's immigration status. And that's not something, again, that we collect, but we may have that information, working to make sure that we are really working with our city attorney to make sure that we don't have to provide any information about citizenship status of any of our residents to anybody from immigration enforcement. Thank you. So I hope that a couple other things that I want to say because of my work in the Latino community. I want you to know that there is a lot of work going on in our communities to make sure that people are really aware of their rights. So I know my friend Fabiola Hamden is somewhere in the room, great social worker from the county, but we developed a guide that's a resource guide for the Latino community. It has some emergency contact information. It has a way for people to really put their own information, make sure family members know where important documents are. It's at the city table outside the room. So for those of you who may come in contact with members of our Latino community, please take some copies of this and distribute them. So this would be a great way for you to do something really tangible and specific. The last thing I would say is that I hope that you will all stay as engaged as you are today. This is going to be a long and arduous battle. somebody said, you know, maybe we shouldn't poke the bear. And my response was, the pack of wolves are out, and that's us. And that bear does not know what fierce is, and we are. So thank you so much. Again, I want to thank Alder Balde for organizing this, and all my fellow council members. You should feel very, I would say you should feel really engaged with the city council. We are a very diverse bunch, as you can see. We really truly represent actually the diversity of our community in many, many ways, from religion to non-religion to gender, sexual orientation, and race and ethnicity. So we are truly representative of, in many ways, of the fight that we are fighting together as a community. So please stay engaged, and let us know if there are other things that you feel we should be doing. And I know I said last, but the one last thing I would say is that whole thread of federal funding or state funding being taken away from your municipality because of us standing for what is right. I will stand here and not speak only for myself this time. I will disclose that, not for the other members of the city council, for myself. My answer to that is try it. Because I think that this is the time where intimidation and bullying should not work. And I am willing to stand and let it be. And so if you one day see that maybe we can pick up your garbage every week, because we stood by our values, I think it's worth it. And I hope that you will join me in knowing that it is worth for us to make a sacrifice.
Well, thank you, Chief. As a member of the City of Madison, a resident of the City of Madison, I thank you for your commitment. Well, good afternoon. For those of you way out in the back, I'm the sheriff from Dane County, not from the east coast of Wisconsin. I don't fly first class, and I don't threaten to punch out others on the plane. First, I'd like to thank Masood and all of our Dane County communities who brought this gathering together today at a time no more important in Dane County and the state of Wisconsin and in this country. As a law enforcement officer 37 years ago, I know, Mike, I'm a lot older than you are. I raised my right hand to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the state of Wisconsin. And in this past election season, I took great exception with the phrase, "Make America Great Again," because we are great. We are great because of what makes us the United States of America. That we are diverse. That we don't share the same religion. We don't share the same immigration status. We don't share the same sexual orientation. We respect each other based on American values. That's why I became a law enforcement officer. To ensure that every citizen is protected without regard to their race, their religion, their immigration status, or their sexual preference. For our government to dictate who you will love, who you will worship, and that great melting pot that makes us America. That's why I stand today in this uniform joined by Chief Koval and Chief Roman, that I'm recommitting to you today that I will be the police officer I was 37 years ago moving forward. We don't need to be great again. After watching the news and what occurred yesterday, I think I'd like to see America hope again. And we'll do that. As I said, there's no more important time than today to have a meeting like this, to reinstill in every one of us a commitment to stand by our neighbors. Because by knowing our neighbors, we know ourselves. And by knowing ourselves, we can open our hearts to eliminate prejudice. And ladies and gentlemen, prejudice is alive and well in America today. I'm going to cut to the punch because I know that there's going to be a lot of questions. But just in this past week, let me digress for a minute. Gloria mentioned, the attorney from Murphy and Desmond mentioned that there'll be 3,500 ICE and Customs and Border Patrol agents hired. Now, Mike, I think you understand like I do, there's no way that's going to happen in this administration. First of all, we can't get enough police officers to fill our agencies in a yearly basis. By no chance is this administration going to fill 3,500 law enforcement jobs for ICE or CBP. It just simply is not going to happen in this administration, and we need to make sure that it ends in 4 years. This past week, I did get a call from ICE. Spoke with their agent who said they're under some strong directives, wanted to know what I could do for them. They wanted to know if I would honor immigration holds and hold individuals for more than 48 hours after their potential release, meaning that once they're eligible for bail or once their sentence has been completed, whether I'd hold them for another 48 hours. And the answer is the same as it's been for the past 10 years as your sheriff. No. Two, I was asked if I would open my jail to immigration detentions. Well, those of you that have been watching the news and reading the papers know that, first of all, I have a jail issue. But even if I had the room, the answer was no. And looking to strike out three times, wondered if I would open my organization to 287G and allow our deputies to be ICE agents. And that answer was, hell no. My commitment moving forward from today is to continue with Mike and Kristen to implement the pillars of the 21st Century Task Force begun under President Obama. And that's to build relationships between our communities and our law enforcement officers, to increase community policing in every one of our communities, in every one of our neighborhoods. That's the direction this country needs to go and continue.
Good evening. I'm John Vaudrey. I'm the United States Attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, the western two-thirds of the state. It's just important to note briefly that I was appointed, after 30-some years as being a prosecutor here, by President Obama to be the United States Attorney. And as many of you know, and it's a system that I support, each president gets to appoint his or her, someday, own United States Attorney. So at this point, those of us who were appointed by President Obama have been permitted to stay until our successor is named. We have the opportunity to leave if we choose to. I have so far chosen to leave because I believe the work is too important. Excuse me, chosen to stay. I'm honored. That was not a Freudian slip. I've said this before, but it really strikes me today, so it bears repeating. Only the speakers see the audience whom they are addressing. You can look to your right and your left, but you can't see what we see. And what I see from up here, when I look out at all of you, I see the United States of America. It is obviously a room filled with glorious, glorious diversity. And it bears repeating, diversity is not a threat to who we are. Diversity makes us who we are. I want to make three brief points before my friend Gloria gives me the hook. First, we've talked a lot about the Constitution today, and justifiably so. But I want you all to remember the difference between bad policy and unconstitutional actions. Bad policy is remedied at the ballot. Bad policy is not remedied in the courts. If policy is constitutional but bad, and presidents for time immemorial have done things we don't like and policies we disagree with, but we remedy bad policies at the ballot. And I keep saying it, and I've said it over and over again along with President Obama, it is an absolute shame that 50% of the eligible voters in this country did not vote. So remember that. A remedy to bad policy is every next election. However you see things, state, local, federal, 2 years, senators, congressmen, that's the first remedy. The next remedy for unconstitutional action is the courts, and I'll address that in just a moment. The second point I want to make is a fear I have that also hasn't been raised yet today. I have a fear with all the angry words and angry actions being taken in this country. I have a fear that what we are seeing, and we have been seeing it statistically occur over the last several months, is a surge in hate crimes. I'm a prosecutor. It's the only job I've ever had. And so when I look out and I think, what's the second thing I want to think about? I want to think about hate crimes. I want to think about the state laws that enhance the penalties. If you do it because of race, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, and also the federal criminal laws that make it a crime to commit violent acts against individuals, again, race, religion, national origin, sexual orientation. It is important that we remember this because laws are passed by Congress, laws are enforced by prosecutors. Executive action, executive orders cannot change actual criminal laws, and I'm afraid that we will not remember that. It also is important to note that the law prohibits damage to property attacks such as mosques, synagogues, gurdwaras, temples, churches, to interfere with our right to worship how and when we choose. I bring this up because I want the message to go out today from all of you to all of your neighbors and all of your friends. We're afraid of a lot of things, but don't forget that there is still protection in those laws. If you believe you have been threatened or attacked, it's a state crime, it's a federal crime. If a brick goes through the mosque or through the gurdwara, it is a violation of federal civil rights law, which we can only prosecute if we know about it. It's a law. It's not an executive order. Nothing has changed. We need to know about those things. Third, in the next 2 minutes, I want to briefly address my feelings about the fear and the uncertainty, and I want to share my thoughts that I put in a letter to all the thriving Muslim communities in this western part of Wisconsin on January 9th, from Barron to Marshfield to Wausau to all the mosques in Madison to Janesville and Whitewater. And what I said were three things, and this first has been said today, but it bears repeating. I ask you to trust the Constitution. The Constitution was written to protect a minority in a government of majority voting. Majorities do not govern, although they elect their representatives. The Constitution protects the minorities. It protects your right to live where you choose to live. It protects your right to worship where you choose to worship. It protects all of us, no matter where we came from or what we think. You can do all of these things free from harassment from your neighbors and free from harassment from your government, a government for whom I've worked for 40 years. The federal court system is here to protect those constitutional rights. We heard from some excellent lawyers, excellent representatives. They know how to find federal court, okay? I think they know how to find it. So first and foremost, keep the Constitution close at hand. Keep a copy there. Second, look around this room, and I would ask you to put fear off to the side a little bit by trusting in all the relationships you have, all the relationships, as I said to my Muslim friends, that you've worked so hard. You've engaged with the communities. You've worked with neighbors, with faith communities, with local government, with local law enforcement, like Chief Koval and Sheriff Mahoney. So we need to trust in the relationships we've built and then build more. Finally, this day is a great example. I would simply ask you to remain engaged with each other. I've said it before. When you are engaged, it is harder to hate. People cannot hate when they have a face in front of them. So you must remain engaged. Whether you're Muslim, non-Muslim, Hispanic, non-Hispanic, remain engaged. And let me end, because I always like to end, if I can, with a quote from Robert Kennedy. In 1967, he spoke at Cape Town in then segregated South Africa, and he spoke words that should be spoken to you and you should keep on your wall. Few will have the greatness to bend history itself, but each of us can work to change a small portion of events. And in the total of all those acts will be written the history of this generation. Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. I am not afraid because I trust you and I have faith in you. Thank you.
Thanks to all of these panelists. John, I just want to make sure, I'm so happy that you are still continuing after January 20th. We need law enforcement officers, particularly federal, just like the way John is. It's unbelievable thing that he goes out, talk to people, understand their problems, and come up with solutions. Those are the kinds of law enforcement officers we need in our community. So I hope you continue. Hopefully you will replace somebody else there. So we are going to take a few questions, but before we do that, let me tell you very quickly. This morning, I started getting emails from people who are overseas. They are U.S. citizens. They have kids. They're not U.S. citizens. And I was bombarded by emails from these people saying that I'm landing in Chicago with my family at such and such time. Who should I contact? Because I did not expect that. That's not the America we talk about. We are a land of immigrants. We all need to work together to respect everybody. And here is a situation where people are citizens, green card holders, are going to pay the price not knowing what was coming. That is the reason we wanted to have this kind of gathering to say we have plenty of support from everybody in this room, and we are going to continue our fight until everybody is completely free of any kind of fear or hate. We'll take a few questions. We have a microphone, so please speak up if you have questions for any of the panelists here.
I have a question for the U.S. Attorney, please. Basically, I want to ask you to tell us some specific things that we need to educate ourselves on and how we go about it. But the background for that question is, my fear, as I've watched what's happened over the last couple of days, is that people in power will try to do things that are bad policy or unconstitutional, and that people will go along with that, that people will carry out those things. Now, from what you said, I feel confident about you sitting in that position right now, but you also said you will probably be replaced. I really felt like what I needed to do come today was to know more about legal rights. If we were, oh, and I was just going to say, I feel like I should know how many U.S. district attorneys there are. Who are they? But I don't. If we were going to try and say, all right, for practical reasons of what we could do to help our neighbors, what kind of things do we most need to go find out about, and how do we find out about that?
Everybody always says it's an excellent question, but that's an excellent question. First of all, there are 93 U.S. attorneys from Maine to Guam. There happen to be two in this state. My friend Greg Honstead's the acting U.S. attorney. He's in Milwaukee. And then I have the Western District, which is the 44 westernmost counties, the two-thirds of the state. What should you know? I think first and foremost, I would have at the ready, and it's available today, I would have at the ready phone numbers for if you're in the immigrant community, for lawyers who do immigration law. I would have phone numbers for the ACLU. Now I'm speaking, I suppose, you know, out of turn as somebody who is on the other side of some of this from the federal government. But as a citizen, those are the things that, now, what do you need to know about the law itself? That becomes much more complicated. I think as Gloria was trying to tell you, she got through one of the executive orders and didn't even get to go through the details. You know, these are documents written by lawyers, so as somebody who's a lawyer, nobody understands most of the time. But I think first and foremost, I think phone numbers are at the ready. If somebody comes to a home and knocks at the door, you are in this country. The Constitution requires search warrants. The Constitution requires warrants of arrest. We've talked about warrants of deportation, detainers. If they are lawfully issued, they are issued by in a process that the law requires. If somebody comes to your door and doesn't have process, you know, it's a country that does not allow them to come in and go into your home and arrest you and do things. Those are pretty fundamental. I mean, that's sort of TV type speak, I suppose. But I think it all seems sort of TV-like until there's a knock at the door, or one of your neighbors says, "I think somebody's doing this or doing that." You know, fundamentally, I'm the chief federal law enforcement officer for this district. And what that means, and as President Obama said to me, he was the president, I'm the president until I'm not the president. So I'm the U.S. attorney until I'm not the U.S. attorney. And at some point. But my point is, you're thinking, well, who should we call? I think this is, you know, something's going on. Our numbers are in the book. You can call. You can ask for me directly. I promise you I will talk to you. I do not promise that I will always have an answer. I simply cannot solve all the problems. But I am more than willing to take problems and pass them to Dave Mahoney or Chief Koval. but I don't mean to be flippant. Keep numbers handy. Understand that the Constitution protects our homes. It protects your ability to move about. It protects you to be free from arrest. It protects your ability to have a lawyer if you are taken into custody. And those are so fundamental that we sometimes overlook them, and we shouldn't.
Okay, so we'll take one more question. We're running out of time, and the question, whoever is asking, has to be very brief. That way you will get a brief response. I want to just take it from this side.
Hi.
There you go.
Okay.
There's the one guy.
Hi. my name is Ben, and before going further, I just want to recognize the solidarity made manifest here. I think this is a beautiful and powerful symbol against the oppressive and hateful tone our administration has clearly taken. Chief Koval, I believe you're still here. You are. Okay. The executive order issued by President Trump clearly targets those residents most vulnerable, that is, immigrants and those who are disproportionately targeted by law enforcement here and elsewhere in the United States, that is, black and brown folk, especially trans folk. His broad-reaching, repressive executive order evidently relies on this pattern of reckless policing to better detain, dehumanize, and deport our neighbors. I want to recognize really quickly Freedom, Inc., Young, Gifted, and Black, and partly Groundwork for their work in addressing this. So here and now, in the presence of the compassionate and angered Madisonian community here today, I demand that you commit to justice. I demand that with Dave Mahoney, and thank you, Mahoney, for your vulnerability and your openness. But Koval, I demand, Chief Koval, I demand that you commit to taking decisive action to resist and disobey this unconstitutional and oppressive initiative as regards to ICE.
So, all right. I don't know if that was a question, but I'm channeling Chief Koval, I want everybody to know that he has committed to do so, at least directly to me. I can say face to face. So, I'm looking forward to seeing the specific draft policy, as you will all see it too. But he has committed to doing so. So, thank you.
The only thing I would say now. We have a next panel coming up, which is going to be a lot more interactive and will give you the opportunity to interact and ask questions, suggestions, and supports. So we just have to wait for that. It's coming up pretty quickly. And please give a round of applause to all of these panelists here doing an excellent job.